Divine Favor. Audiobook by Ashish Raichur. Chapter 1. What is divine favor? Divine favor is something that God releases upon His people. This is one of His blessings that He grants us. In this simple study, we explore what divine favor is, what it brings into our lives, and what we can do to receive divine favor. What is divine favor? What happens when the favor of God is upon us? What causes the favor of God to come upon us? Divine favor is an endowment of God that is released upon a person and gives the person influence, access to people, places, or things, unusual opportunities, exaltation, and divine intervention. The Bible talks about God being impartial, Romans chapter 2, verse 11, and Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. For there is no partiality with God. Psalm chapter 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. God loves every person equally and is not a respecter of persons. Yet, in His dealings with mankind, we find that God releases divine favor upon some individuals or upon groups of people at certain points in time, in particular seasons, or moments in their lives. And this is what I want to awaken us to, so that we can expect to receive divine favor from God. Examples of the favor of God coming upon people. Nehemiah. Nehemiah was one such example of a man who received divine favor. The Bible records the story of Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, who attacked Jerusalem and conquered it, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 2. He broke the temple and the city walls and took a lot of people as captives to Babylon. There were transitions that took place. The Persian Empire overpowered the Babylonian Empire. The people of God were in captivity at that time, and Nehemiah was serving in the palace of the king as a cupbearer. He was serving whatever the king wanted to drink. In the palace, reports about what was happening in Jerusalem came to Nehemiah. His heart was stirred, and he felt that he really needed to do something about Jerusalem. He told himself, I need to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and started praying. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 11. O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. For I was the king's cupbearer. So, Nehemiah prayed and asked God for mercy in the sight of the king. This was a prayer for divine favor. A couple of days later, Nehemiah goes back to the palace. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1-8. And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, that I took the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore the king said to me, Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid, and said to the king, May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad, when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire? Then the king said to me, What do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to the king, If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, How long will your journey be? And when will you return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Furthermore I said to the king, If it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river, that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, and for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Try and understand what Nehemiah asked the king. He essentially told the king that he wanted to go back to the king's enemies and help them become strong to defend themselves against the king, because, in those days, the walls of the city were one of the primary mechanisms of defense. If they had strong walls built, they could defend themselves against the enemy. This was an outrageous request from Nehemiah, and yet the king granted him all of it. And remember, Nehemiah was not a big politician or an influential person, but just a servant in the palace, serving the king. Nehemiah sums up, "The king granted all these requests to me according to the good hand of my God upon me," Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8. So, he declared that because the hand of God was on him, the king granted all these requests. And so, Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem and told the people to see the distress that they were in and how Jerusalem was laying waste. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 18. "And I told them of the hand of my God which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, 'Let us rise up and build.' Then they set their hands to this good work." Not only did Nehemiah experience the favor of God this way, but also testified about such favor with other people. So, what happened was that the favor of God on Nehemiah attracted people to him. Other people wanted to connect with Nehemiah and be a part of his mission. This is exactly what the favor of God can do for you and me, today too. Nehemiah walked in God's favor and it brought such boldness in the hearts of other people also that when there was opposition, all of them responded to the opposition saying, "The God of heaven, he himself will prosper us, therefore we, his servants, will arise and build," Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 20. Thus, they knew they were in a season of divine favor and recognized what God was doing in their midst. They believed that the good hand of God's favor was upon them, and no matter what people said, they were going to rise up and build. Joseph. Genesis 39 records the story of Joseph being sold by his brothers as a slave to Egypt. There he served in Potiphar's house and was later thrown into prison. Genesis chapter 39, verses 21 and 22. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. So, even in prison, the keeper of the prison asks Joseph to be in charge. This is divine favor. The keeper did not even think for a moment that Joseph would let himself out and all the other prisoners. Imagine a prisoner overseeing his own cell in a prison. Acts chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. "And the patriarchs, becoming envious, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him, and delivered him out of all his troubles, and gave him favor and wisdom in the presence of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house." God granted favor to Joseph and overnight he went from being prisoner to being prime minister of Egypt. This is what the favor of God can do in our lives. In a moment, everything can change. The people of Israel in Egypt. The people of Israel were slaves for 400 years in Egypt. God spoke to Moses at the beginning of his mission saying, "And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall be, when you go, that you shall not go empty-handed. But every woman shall ask of her neighbor, namely, of her who dwells near her house, articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and on your daughters. So, you shall plunder the Egyptians," Exodus chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. God is telling Moses that he will grant favor to the people of Israel in the sight of the Egyptians, the very ones who held them as slaves all these years. He is telling Moses that when the time comes to take these people out of Egypt, they will be led by Moses into the promised land. God clearly tells Moses that because of his favor upon them, the Israelites will not leave Egypt empty-handed. Exodus chapter 11, verse 3. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. Suddenly, the Egyptians' opinions, perspectives, and what they wanted to do to the Israelites changed. The Lord simply granted the Israelites favor before the Egyptians. Everything changed. Exodus chapter 12, verses 35-37. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children. Also, due to divine favor in the sight of the Egyptians granted the Israelites whatever they pleased. Thus, they literally plundered the Egyptians. Imagine your home help coming and asking you to give her all your gold and clothes. You would think she was out of her mind. But this is exactly what the Israelites asked the Egyptians after 400 years of slavery. In a moment of divine favor, there was a transfer of wealth from the hands of the Egyptians into the hands of the Israelites. All this happened overnight. Do you believe God can do that for you and me today? Do you believe God can send seasons of divine favor or moments of divine favor into your life and mine? I believe God can. Times have changed. People have changed. But our God is the God who continues to send out divine favor upon His people. He favors His people and causes things to happen which otherwise would never take place. Chapter 2. What happens when the favor of God is upon us? Influence among people. Divine favor gives us influence among people. Nehemiah was a nobody. Joseph was a prisoner. The Israelites were slaves. But when the favor of God was upon them, they gained influence. They could speak and things happened in their favor. Access to people, places, or things. The favor of God gives us access to people, places, and things. Suddenly, God gives us access to the right people, to the right places, to things, or wealth, when He releases divine favor upon our lives. Unusual opportunities. The favor of God also brings unusual opportunities, opportunities that others may not have, into our lives. Brings exaltation. Psalm chapter 89, verse 17. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted. The word horn means leader. The favor of God brings exaltation. Releases life. When God releases His favor, what is dying suddenly comes to life. Circumstances in our lives are turned around when the favor of God is released upon us. Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. For His anger is but for a moment, His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm chapter 30, verse 11. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing, you have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. Chapter 3. What causes the favor of God to come upon us? What causes divine favor to be released upon a person's life? Why does divine favor come to certain people at certain points in time? Here are some answers I found by studying Scripture. Favor is connected to our assignment. The favor of God is always connected to our assignments. Each one of us has an assignment from God, and whenever we are moving into our assignments, the favor of God comes upon us. Here are some examples from the Bible. Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." God could have chosen any young maiden to be the vehicle for the birth of the Messiah. But He chose Mary. She became the favored one for a specific assignment, to birth the Messiah. Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men. Nehemiah. Why did Nehemiah experience divine favor? He was moving into the assignment of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and so Nehemiah experienced divine favor. Joseph. Why did Joseph have divine favor? He was moving into the assignment of becoming the prime minister, to bring deliverance for his people as a fulfillment of the dream. Esther. Esther experienced divine favor because she had the assignment of bringing deliverance to the Jewish people. Esther was an orphan who could have ended up in life being just a nobody. But the favor of God was upon her. She was selected to be queen to King Ahasuerus. And at the right time, when Esther went to the king to make a request, the king saw her standing in the court, and she found favor in his sight. So, he held out the golden scepter that was in his hand, and then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. And the king asked her, "What do you wish, Queen Esther? What is your request?" "It shall be given to you, up to half the kingdom." Thus, the favor of God was upon her because she was pursuing a particular assignment. Only later did Esther realize that she was pursuing an assignment that would bring deliverance to the people of God. So, whenever we are in the midst of our assignments, the favor of God will come upon us. This means that if we are doing our own assignments, it disqualifies us to receive these divine moments of favor. However, when we pursue God's assignments, we become candidates for His divine favor. And God releases that favor because He has assignments for our lives that He wants us to fulfill. That is why sometimes unexpected doors open and we get access to people, places, and things that others may not have access to. Sometimes we find a transfer of wealth into our hands. Other times, we will find people coming under our influence saying, "We want to be a part of that mission." This is divine favor being poured out on our lives. But we must also keep in mind that even after a moment or season of divine favor, we must continue to work and do all that we must do in the natural to work toward the assignment God has given us. It was in a moment of divine favor that the king granted all of Nehemiah's requests. But Nehemiah had to follow it up with hard work, working past a lot of opposition, false accusations, internal problems, and so on until he saw the assignment completed. Be careful not to waste the favor of God released on your life. Saul wasted the good favor God had shown him, and God found someone else, David, to fulfill the assignment. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 10 and 11 and 16 through 22. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, "I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me, and has not performed my commandments." And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Be quiet. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And he said to him, "Speak on." So Samuel said, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go, and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." So Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." Favor is connected to the set time. Psalm chapter 102, verse 13. "You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time, has come. There are set times in our lives when the favor of God is released upon us for a specific assignment. There is a time, a moment, when divine favor is released in our lives and we are left to wonder how we can experience such favor, in spite of not doing anything. That is the season of favor. Our times are in His hands, Psalm chapter 31, verse 15. In between these set times of favor, are times of preparation that prepares us to handle the favor that will come on our lives. Meanwhile, we must remain faithful to the assignment given to us and continue to work in the natural with the grace given to us to fulfill the assignment. And we must not misuse the favor when we receive it, so that we can be ready for the next downpour of the favor of God on our lives. Favor is connected to righteousness. Psalm chapter 5, verse 12. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous, with favor you will surround him as with a shield. Daniel chapter 9, verse 23. At the beginning of your supplications the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved, therefore consider the matter, and understand the vision. Daniel chapter 10, verses 11 and 19. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you, be strong, yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Favor is connected to righteousness. Daniel is a great example of a man who stood for righteousness. He walked in righteousness through difficult situations. God called him greatly beloved. God will bless the righteous. He will surround them with favor like a shield. So, when we are walking in righteousness, we are surrounded with divine favor. So, no matter who meets us, they will come into contact with this invisible favor, a shield of favor. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake you, bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 2. A good man obtains favor from the Lord, but a man of wicked intentions he will condemn. There are two things that God really wants us to keep in our hearts: mercy, which is compassion, and truth, which is integrity, uprightness, and honesty. God says that if we maintain these two things, we find favor and high esteem before God and before man. So what attracts favor to our lives is when we are walking with mercy and truth. Favor is connected to wisdom and understanding. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35. For whoever finds me, wisdom, finds life, and obtains favor from the Lord. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 35. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. Favor is connected to wisdom and understanding. Because when we choose to walk with wisdom and understanding, we also find life and obtain favor. When God knows that we will handle correctly what He gives us, He will bestow favor. So, we must learn to value wisdom and understanding, thus positioning us to receive the favor of God on our lives. Psalm chapter 106, verse 4. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor you have toward your people. Oh, visit me with your salvation. Psalm chapter 119, verse 58. I entreated your favor with my whole heart, be merciful to me according to your word. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. I want to encourage you to pray for divine favor. Position yourself for divine favor. Expect to receive divine favor. Ask God for favor with your whole heart, because this blessing of divine favor can do amazing things in your life. In moments of favor, in seasons of favor, you can receive things which money will not be able to buy. What money could Joseph have paid to be transferred from the prison to being a prime minister? What money could Esther have paid to become queen? What money could Nehemiah have given the king to have all his requests granted to him? Be it in your job, career, business, ministry, education, or any other area, ask God for his favor to be released on your life. You can entreat the Lord for favor. And when that favor is poured out on you, in a moment, extraordinary things will happen, opportunities will open up, your circumstances will change, and he will turn your mourning into dancing. Prayer. Almighty God, I will walk with wisdom and righteousness. I am positioning myself to receive divine favor, and I expect to receive divine favor. Also, in between those intervals of set times of favor, I will stay faithful to your call. I do not want to miss out on the next set time of favor that you have for my life, when things will change suddenly. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 4. Stewarding God's favor. Receiving God's favor upon us is simply a work of grace. God extends favor upon us, and we position ourselves to receive. However, what we do after that is especially important. How we steward the favor of God will determine if we progress in our assignments and if God's purposes are ultimately fulfilled. Also, properly stewarding God's favor will determine if there will be a continued release of favor, because in his kingdom, faithfulness with little positions us to receive even more. In the Bible, we see people who were good stewards of divine favor. A few examples would be Joseph, who, having received divine favor, becoming prime minister in a foreign land, stayed true to the Lord, fulfilled his assignment, and even extended that favor to his brothers who had wronged him. David experienced divine favor that took him from being a simple shepherd to becoming a mighty king in Israel. Though he made a few mistakes in his life, he walked in love and fear of the Lord till the end. He honored people around him and was a good steward of the favor that God had bestowed on his life. Nehemiah is another outstanding example. Even after fulfilling his assignment of seeing the walls of the city of Jerusalem rebuilt and being acknowledged as leader and governor, he refused to indulge in privileges he could have enjoyed. In his own words, "Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year until the 32nd year of King Artaxerxes, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the governor's provisions. But the former governors who were before me laid burdens on the people, and took from them bread and wine, besides 40 shekels of silver. Yes, even their servants bore rule over the people, but I did not do so, because of the fear of God. Now that which was prepared daily was one ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowl were prepared for me, and once every 10 days an abundance of all kinds of wine. Yet in spite of this I did not demand the governor's provisions, because the bondage was heavy on this people." Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 14 to 15 and 18. Esther experienced divine favor and became queen. And she willingly risked her life and place of influence for the sake of the people of God. Like this, there are many others who were good stewards of God's favor on their lives. However, we also see those who wasted the favor God had bestowed. King Solomon, favored by God with great wisdom, wealth, influence, and peace, was led astray by his love for women. This ruined an otherwise glorious reign in Israel. King Hezekiah was a good king in Judah who saw a revival of righteousness and returning to the Lord. The Lord was with him, he prospered wherever he went, 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 7. He also saw God give him great deliverance and victory. And yet he made a major mistake toward the end of his reign. He did not protect what God had entrusted to him and did not pass it on as a legacy to the next generation. Instead, he exposed Judah to the king of Babylon, which eventually led to the land being taken captive by the Babylonians, 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 12 to 20. Here are some important things we need to do to properly steward the favor God releases upon our lives. Give God all the glory. Psalm chapter 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. As recipients of God's favor on our lives, we must ensure that we keep our eyes on him and give him the praise, honor, and glory for what we have received out of his mercy. Share the blessing of divine favor. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." While we enjoy the favor of God upon us, we must remember to share it with those around us. Some around us may be going through different seasons of life, perhaps through some struggles, some needs, and challenges. We must pour out of the goodness upon our lives into theirs. God blesses us, so that we can be a blessing. Do not abuse God's favor. God's favor is not meant to be lavished only upon us. Neither should we abuse or misuse what God has entrusted to us. God's favor on us does not mean we are better than others. God's favor on us does not mean that we are more loved than others. Continue to grow. While a season of favor is to be enjoyed, it is not meant to become a parking spot in our journey with God. God desires that we continue to move from glory to glory, being transformed into his image. Every season of favor must propel us forward into greater heights and deeper depths in God. It must move us into greater levels of consecration, discipline, and sacrifice for the sake of his kingdom. The more he gives to me, the more of myself I lay on the altar. Protect what has been given. Favor must be protected. We must guard properly what God has given. There is an enemy who seeks to turn the good that God has bestowed on us into reasons for disaster. The enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. It was when King David had seen great success and decided to let his guard down for a while that he fell into sin with Bathsheba. So, we need to be constantly vigilant to guard the favor released on our lives. Usually, favor attracts all kinds of people toward us. Not all of them come with the right motives. Many come with the idea of leveraging the favor upon our lives for their own selfish agendas. Be watchful of partnerships and alliances that you enter into during your season of favor. Keep everything clean and pure. Refuse to compromise and always walk in the light. Stay away from people whose heart motives, life examples, or standards do not adhere to the Word of God. Pass it on to succeeding generations. Favor is a legacy that we must steward and can pass on to succeeding generations. When we teach those who come after us about the goodness of God and how to be good stewards of His goodness, we are positioning them to receive and run with the favor we have experienced. If we experience divine favor and fail to help succeeding generations understand what it takes to walk in divine favor, all that we have will surely be wasted and diminished. However, if succeeding generations are trained how to walk in divine favor, what began with us will continue to grow, increase, and further the purposes of God for generations to come. This audiobook has been produced and distributed by All People's Church and World Outreach, Bangalore, India. For free books and audiobooks, please visit apcwo.org/books. For free teaching sermons, please visit apcwo.org/sermons. Unless otherwise indicated, all scripture references are from the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. Used with permission. All free resources from All People's Church may be shared and distributed freely.